My dearly beloved in Christ, today being Mother's Day, I would like, instead of speaking as we normally do about the Epistle and Gospel of the Mass, I would like to speak this morning about our Blessed Mother, our spiritual mother, whom we honor in a special way during this month of May. It would be impossible for us to adequately understand the excellence of our Blessed Mother, the many graces that God has given to this most perfect creature that he formed. And fittingly so, because she was destined to be the mother of his divine Son, to bring forth into the world the incarnate Word of God. The saints tell us, and theologians, that our Blessed Mother had, from the very beginning of her creation, that she possessed more grace than all of the saints that have ever lived or ever will live until the end of time. All holy people, if you took all of that grace that they acquired after a long life, and many of them after their martyrdom, the amount of grace that all of these saints acquired, if you took that grace and you put it all together in one lump sum, that our Blessed Mother had more grace at the beginning of her life than all of the saints combined. And yet, and this is what is beyond our comprehension, not only did she have more grace to begin with, but she continued to increase that grace. She cooperated so perfectly with the will of God that she doubled the grace, so that at the second moment of her existence, she had twice what she had at the beginning, and continued to double the grace of God because of her cooperation was so complete and so perfect. And thus our Blessed Mother amassed an amount of grace and virtue that is inconceivable to us. Fittingly then, do we place our Blessed Mother in a class apart from all the other saints, that she is in her own category, you might say. Thus, theologians use a different term for the honor, respect, love, and veneration that is given to our Blessed Mother. A different terminology is used than that which is used to describe the honor and the veneration to the other saints. Because again, she is in a category all by herself. We, during this month, ought to strive to grow in our love of our Blessed Mother, our devotion to her. And I recommend to you three books in particular, although there are many wonderful books on our Blessed Mother, but I think the three best books are, first of all, The True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary by St. Louis Marie de Montfort, The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus, and another one you may not be familiar with, which is called The Love of Mary by a hermit named Dom Roberto, written in the mid-1800s. I highly recommend these books, as well as so many others on our Blessed Mother, because when we read what the saints have said about our Blessed Mother, it increases our devotion. And we cannot have too much devotion to our Blessed Mother, as long as it is a true devotion. We remember that God alone is the ultimate end of all of our devotion, but our Blessed Mother most securely leads us to God. And thus, according to the method of St. Louis Marie de Montfort, we consecrate ourselves to her completely and to Jesus through Mary. And in his beautiful book of True Devotion to Mary on this act of consecration, St. Louis Marie de Montfort uses the Latin word for see, mare, to draw a comparison to Our Lady. He said, God created all the waters and gathered them together and called them mare, the sea. And he gathered together all of his graces and called it Maria, Our Lady. And St. Louis Marie de Montfort even uses the terminology, speaking of Our Blessed Mother, as the Divine Mary. And I have read this in other books as well. It is not only St. Louis. And some are shocked at that. Why would he call our Blessed Mother the Divine Mary? Well, I will quote from Cardinal Vaughan, who was an English cardinal of the late 1800s, explaining that in his introduction to the book True Devotion. He said, "The word divine may be used without attributing the nature of divinity to the person or thing thus qualified. We speak of our own prayers, whether addressed to God or to his saints, as a divine service. The psalmist speaks of us all as being gods and sons of the Most High, and yet no one takes offense because the sense given to the words uttered is understood. Mary may be called divine because divinely chosen for the divine office of mother of a divine person, Jesus Christ." In other words, Our Lady is so close to God that we can refer to her as the Divine Mary. But not only is she so close to God, being the one who brought forth into the world the Redeemer, the Son of God. And in that regard, have you ever considered how Jesus must have looked so much like his mother that we take our features from both of our parents? And sometimes we say, oh, this boy looks like his mother, this boy looks like his father, that girl looks more like her father, more like the mother, etc. But we reflect both of our parents. But our Blessed Mother, but our Divine Lord had no earthly father. And so the substance of his human nature, of his body, came entirely from our Blessed Mother. So the likeness, the comparison of our Lord and our Lady must have been striking. And of course, we will see that in heaven. But as I was saying, St. Louis Marie de Montfort, in his wonderful book, True Devotion, talks about how our Blessed Mother is so endowed by Almighty God with grace. Imagine the words that God spoke to our Blessed Mother. The first words addressed by God, as far as we know, to Our Lady, were through an angel. And what were they? "Hail, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And our Blessed Mother was always full of grace. If you took a cup of water, and then you took a pitcher and you poured water into the cup, and you're trying to fill it up to the point where it wouldn't overflow. And so you pour very carefully, and you get it to the point where you think to yourself, if I pour one more drop of water into this cup, it will overflow. It's filled to the brim. That is how Our Lady was, full of grace. But she continued to increase grace because her capacity kept growing, was enlarged. But she was always, at every moment, full of grace. So we speak about our Blessed Mother's own excellence. But let us also reflect upon her office of mercy toward us. We say in that beautiful prayer, "Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, our hope." She is a mother of mercy because her heart has been filled with compassion and love for us. Even though we are responsible for the crucifixion and death of her son, nevertheless, she loves us. She intercedes for us. She desires to save us. And how many souls have been saved who should have been lost, but were saved by the mercy and the intercession of our Blessed Mother? We must never, ever, no matter how low we fall, no matter how dark the days, we must never lose trust and confidence in our Blessed Mother. One of the wonderful things about the book, The Glories of Mary by St. Alphonsus, is that he tells so many stories. He gives so many examples. And one of them that I was reading, beautiful story about a man who sadly was addicted to a vice, lived in the state of mortal sin for years. And his wife, good wife, did everything she could to turn him to a better life, to change, but being unable to change him, because of course we all have a free will, we can't force someone else to live the way we want them to live, She at least prevailed upon him every time he passed in front of a picture of Our Lady or a statue to say a Hail Mary. And she begged him to do this, and he did. And he began that practice, and he continued it. And one day he was out, it was dark. Imagine this back in the days before there was electric lighting, and so it was very dark, walking through town, and he saw in the distance a light. So he went up to see what that was, and it was a candle burning before an image of Our Blessed Mother holding the Christ child in a wall of a building. And, of course, according to his custom, he stopped and said a Hail Mary. But as he was praying, what was his surprise? To see the image of the Christ child in the picture turn colors, all covered with wounds and blood as he was praying. And he realized that was his sins. And then he began to address our divine Lord and beg forgiveness. And our Lord turned away, turned his face away, turned towards his mother, turned away from this sinner. And then the man knelt down and began to beg Our Blessed Mother to help him, to have pity upon him, to obtain forgiveness, to intercede with her son. And she began to speak to her divine son and asked forgiveness. And what this man could not obtain by his prayers from our Lord, Our Lady obtained for him mercy and forgiveness. And he changed his life. But a beautiful little story because of that practice of devotion. So everything we do will be recompensed by Our Lady. She will not forget the little acts of placing flowers before her shrine. Again, bowing to Our Lady's image or saying a prayer. And think about this. What prayer is most common throughout the world? It is the Hail Mary. It is those words of the angel Gabriel, the invitation of God to Our Blessed Mother. And as Our Lady said in the Magnificat, all generations shall call me blessed. That is what we do when we say the Hail Mary. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. We say that prayer, and you might say mankind says that prayer probably millions of times every day. That prayer rises up from devout lips, from devout hearts, proclaiming Our Blessed Mother blessed. She prophesied that in the Magnificat. Henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed because he who is mighty has done great things to me. I would like to conclude by quoting from the beautiful prayer, from a sermon rather, of Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, one of the great lovers of Our Blessed Mother. And this is a discourse on the name of Mary. He says, whoever you are, when you find yourself tossed by storms and tempests upon this world's raging waters, rather than walking upon firm dry land, never take your eyes from the brightness of this star, lest you be overwhelmed by the storm. And of course, Our Lady is called the Star of the Sea. And he goes on, when the winds of temptation blow, when you run upon the rocks of disaster, look to the star, cry out to Mary. If you are cast away upon the waves of pride or ambition, of detraction or jealousy, look to the star, call upon Mary. When anger, avarice, or the lusts of the flesh assail the ship of your mind, look up to Mary. When you are worried by the enmity, by the enormity of your sins, troubled by a confused conscience, or terrified by the horrors of the judgment to come, when you begin to drown in the bottomless pit of sorrow, or sink in the abyss of despair, think of Mary. And it goes on in this same vein. Beautiful prayer, beautiful discourse and hymn. How we should always look to the star, look to Mary in every difficulty. Let us strive during this month, and let us ask our Lord to help us, all of us, to grow in our love and devotion to Our Blessed Mother, and to ask yourself, Do I honor our Blessed Mother as I should? And the devotions that I perform, is it perfunctory? Is it just merely rattling off some prayers? Or do these prayers and devotions proceed from a tender love for Mary in my heart? May God grant each of us that great grace of a deep and tender devotion to His Mother and our Blessed Mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.